Chapter 6. The next morning, Tuesday, I woke up at 5:17 in the morning, and I couldn't get back to sleep. It was my first day at Bluford High, and I was nervous. For once, I didn't even want to eat anything. When I looked in the bathroom mirror before getting in the shower, I noticed my cheek was still a bit swollen, and there was a bruise beneath my right eye. But it didn't look as bad as the day before. I hope no one would notice. After my shower, I put on a new pair of jeans and a baggy black t-shirt I bought with Aunt Faye. I followed a group of six other sleepy kids down Union Street and made the turn to Bluford. As I neared the school, I spotted Miss Spencer at the front doors next to the metal detectors, helping direct traffic. Two security guards and a few teachers were with her. "Good morning, Ben," she said as I passed by. And then she turned to speak to other students she knew. I walked down the main hallway I'd visited weeks earlier, trying to act like I knew where I was going. Although I wasn't the only new student, it sure felt that way. Everyone seemed to have someone else to talk to, everyone except me. The schedule I had gotten in the mail said my first class was English in room 214 with a teacher named Mitchell. It seemed simple, but when I looked at the signs in the hallway, they made no sense. One said C wing, another said A wing. Neither said where room 214 was. I started to sweat. But I didn't want to start out Bluford being the only sophomore who couldn't find his first class. I was about to ask a janitor for help when I heard someone call me. "Ben?" I spun around to see Cindy, the office aide I'd met the day Aunt Faye and I visited the school. She was standing with another girl, and both of them were smiling at me. "What's up, Cindy?" I said, grateful to see someone I knew, especially her. "How you doing?"
"I'm fine, I guess, but I wish I didn't have to get up at 6:30, she said with a tired grin. "After the summer, I'm not used to that."
"I hear what you're saying. I'm so tired, if I close my eyes right now, I'd pass out," I said, trying to keep her smiling. I turned my head slightly, hoping she wouldn't notice my swollen cheek. If she did, she hid it well.
"My whole freshman year was like that," said Cindy's friend, a girl I'd never seen before. "I don't know why school can't start at, like, 11. I could get used to that."
"Oh, I'm sorry. Ben, this is Jamie. She's my girl. We go way back," Cindy explained.
"All the way to middle school," Jamie added. "Nice to meet you."
"You too," I said, glad to know someone else. I wanted to talk, but I knew our first class was about to start, and I had no idea where it was.
"Look, maybe y'all can help me. I'm supposed to be in Mitchell's English class in room 214, but the signs around here don't make sense. Do you know where it is?"
Jamie tilted her head and blinked at Cindy.
"Tell us where it is, Miss Office Aide."
"Let me think," Cindy said playfully. "That would be the class we're in next period. You're in our English class."
"You're lucky, too. Mr. Mitchell's cool. You could have got Mr. Osgood. Then you'd be even more sleepy first period," Jamie said. "Come on, follow us."
The halls were full of students as we walked to class. At one point, we were crammed together, and my shoulder gently bumped Cindy's. I apologized, and she flashed me the same smile that lit up the hallways over the summer. I couldn't help but notice the curves of her body in her jeans and tank top. She looked good.
"Here we are," Jamie announced as we turned into a classroom. I noticed a tall black man with an orange necktie standing in front of the chalkboard.
The room was already half full with kids as Jamie slid into a chair. Cindy sat next to her, and I grabbed the next closest seat, two rows behind her. The bell rang a few minutes later.
"Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Mr. Mitchell," he said, closing the door and writing his name on the blackboard. "Welcome back."
Several students in the class moaned, as if school was the last place they wanted to be.
"Now, it's okay not to want to be here today," he said in a confident voice as he looked around the room. "But it's not okay if you don't make the best of it."
He then began going around the room and shaking hands with each student, asking us to give our name first. My palm was a little sweaty, so I rubbed it on my jeans before he got to me.
"Ben McKee," I said to him, as he clasped my hand.
He smiled at me, as he did to everyone. I saw him notice the bruise under my eye.
"Welcome to Blueford, Ben. Lincoln's a good school, but I like to think we're even better," he said.
I was surprised he knew where I'd come from. Then I remembered how Aunt Faye talked to Miss Spencer and got that book for me. They must have talked about my classes. It was like she was still watching out for me, even from North Carolina. Mr. Mitchell began class by going over what he expected. Show up on time, hand in homework on time, lots of class participation, lots of reading and writing, the usual stuff teachers say. "We must read to exercise our brains," he added at one point. It was like listening to Grandma again. Some kids rolled their eyes. But then he turned and asked us a strange question. "What's the most dangerous creature you can think of?" The class was silent. We all looked at each other. What was he talking about? What did this have to do with English? What did it have to do with anything? "I'm serious," he added. There was a long pause before someone finally spoke up. "Sharks," said Reggie, a kid in the back of the room. I'd heard his name when Mr. Mitchell shook his hand.
"I heard some kid got his foot bit off in Florida just last week."
"Boy, what do you know about sharks?" someone shot back with a chuckle.
"Snakes," said another kid. "I seen this one on TV that spits poison in your face, and one bite can kill like 500 people."
"You're tripping," said a kid next to him.
"I hate snakes," Jamie said. "Yuck."
The class started talking then, even though it had nothing to do with English. After a few minutes, people were getting silly, trying to pick the scariest animal. Someone even said something about an alien from a movie when Mr. Mitchell cut in.
"No, keep it real," he said. "Is there anything scarier?"
One thing came to mind for me. Larry. He was the scariest animal I knew, but I wasn't going to tell anyone about him.
"How about people?" I said.
The class got quiet again and everyone looked at me. I could feel eyes scanning me, the new kid.
"People?"
Mr. Mitchell asked, nodding. "You think they're the most dangerous, Ben?"
"Definitely," I replied. "You don't see animals blowing up buildings or fighting wars. If you ask me, people are the scariest thing out there."
"But he said animals. People ain't animals," said Reggie. He sounded annoyed.
"Some of them are," Cindy cut in. "At least some of the ones I know." A few kids laughed, and then Mr. Mitchell jumped in. "Reggie, Cindy, and Ben make interesting points which I want to discuss further." He passed out copies of something called The Most Dangerous Game. "But read this short story first. It will make you wonder whether there is a difference between people and animals, and who is more dangerous." We then read a few pages of the story, and Mr. Mitchell asked us to write down our predictions about what might happen next. We also had to list any proof we had for our ideas. The part we read was about a hunter who sails near this island that everyone says is evil. Then, in the middle of the night, he hears gunshots in the dark, and he falls off his boat into the sea. The water is described as blood warm, so I wrote what I guessed would happen next. The hunter would end up on the island and face the shooter. I also wrote that someone was going to die. The blood made me think that. Just as I finished writing, the bell rang. My first class at Blueford was over.
"Good job today, Ben,"
Mr. Mitchell said as he glanced at my paper. Reggie scowled. I managed to find my next classes, biology, geometry, and history, without any help. I even answered a question in Mr. Najjar's history class. He was talking about different cultures and asked us if anyone knew where Mesopotamia was. Most kids couldn't even pronounce it, but I knew because Aunt Faye taught me. It's one of the first places people settled, and it's in Iraq where everyone is fighting. Aunt Faye taught me even older settlements were in Africa, that all the world's people came from there originally. I started to say this when I noticed kids looking at me. At Lincoln, my friends were used to me speaking up about things I knew, but at Blueford, I was too new for that. All I got were stares, so I shut up. By lunchtime, I was starving, but I had no one to sit with. I joined the crowd and moved slowly through the line. All around me, kids were finding their friends they hadn't seen since last year. It felt like I was the only person who had no one to talk to. Lunch was a gloppy-looking beef stew on top of soggy noodles. I took my tray and looked for an empty table when I saw a face I recognized. It was Dez, the kid who stood up for me on the street the other week. He had some change in his hand, and he was heading to a nearby snack machine. He spotted me the same second I saw him. "What's happening?" he asked with a nod. He started to walk away, but then stopped, glancing at the bruise under my eye. "You all right?" "I'm cool," I said, wishing I could hide it from everyone. "Just trying to get settled in. New school and all, you know." "Let me give you some advice," he said with a smile. "Skip that stew." "Yeah, it looks kind of nasty," I agreed, laughing. I looked at the crowded cafeteria then, searching for an empty table. The nearest one was against a wall in a back corner. I started walking toward it when I heard Dez's voice again. "You sitting with someone?" he asked. I turned around. "Just this stew."
"Sit with us then."
I didn't argue. By the end of the lunch period, I met Tyree, Daryl, and Harold. I even learned that Jamie and Dez were kind of going out, that Tyree and Daryl used to hate each other, and that Harold once liked Cindy. "I'm over that," he said when I asked him about it.
"You hurt yourself?"
asked Tyree, a quiet, muscular kid, just before we left the cafeteria. "Yeah, I took an elbow playing a little one-on-one with my stepdad," I explained. The other guys gave me a funny look for a second, but no one mentioned it again. Several hours later, the final bell rang, and I joined hundreds of kids who rushed out Bluford's main doors. My first day of school was over, and it wasn't that bad. With Cindy and a crew to eat with in the cafeteria, I almost forgot about home and what waited for me there. As I walked back, I was glad I'd talked to Mr. Graham and that he'd asked me to meet him after my first day at Bluford. It meant I had somewhere else to go besides home with Larry and his beer. I got to the store a little after 3. Mr. Graham spotted me right away. "Hello, Ben," he said with a happy and surprised look on his face. "I wasn't sure I'd see you again, but here you are. Come on, there's a truck pulling up right now." We walked outside to a boxy truck full of soda cases. "All that's got to come in, and I'm afraid your back's stronger than mine. A couple years ago, I could do this in my sleep. Things are a little different now," he said, shaking his head.
"I got it,"
I said, jumping into the back of the truck. I tried to impress him by grabbing as many heavy cases as I could and rushing them into the store, but I nearly crashed into an elderly woman buying a bag of cat food. "You don't have to hurry, Ben," he assured me as soon as she left. "Like I told my daughter Alice this morning, people today rush everything. Things would work out better if everyone slowed down a little, you know, just move along quietly." 2 hours later, my arms and back were tired, but I'd finished unloading the truck, stocking the shelves, and sweeping the floor, everything he asked. He shook my hand and said he'd like to hire me for 3 days each week. "I'll give you $5 an hour if you want the job. It's all we can afford, Ben," he said. It was fine with me. $30 a week would give me enough money for food. I left the store and headed home in the steamy late afternoon heat, with his words still echoing in my head. Just move along quietly. It made sense. But then I got home. Larry and Mom were watching TV when I walked in. They both looked tense.
"Where you been, Ben?"
Mom asked. I told her about my day at Bluford and my part-time job at Graham's. She seemed both happy and sad at the same time. A couple times she smiled, but then wiped her eyes like she was crying. When I told her how well things went at school, she gave me this look that still haunts me.
"Save yourself, Ben," it seemed to say. "I'm not going to make it, but as long as you survive, it's okay."
Larry didn't budge the whole time I talked. Instead, he just flipped channels.
"I'm proud of you," Mom said, wiping her eyes again with a tissue.
I knew something happened, but I was afraid to ask with Larry sitting there, his face stormy.
It's good you got your own money, he barked. There's one less thing we have to pay for.
Then he held up his index finger and pointed to the steps. It was a signal for me to get out of his part of the house. I wanted to scream. Since we moved, I hadn't seen him spend a cent on me, so he had no right to talk or tell me where to go. But what could I do? I bit my tongue and dragged myself up to my room. Mom came up an hour later.
I'm sorry, Ben. Here, you must be starving, she said as she came in. She was holding a plate with a chicken sandwich made from leftovers.
I took it and put it on the floor. I'd already eaten two peanut butter and jelly sandwiches I made myself, but I didn't tell her.
Mom, what's wrong? I thought y'all would be happy I'm working.
I am happy, she admitted.
But it's Larry. He got real bad news today.
Huh?
He got laid off from his job this afternoon, she said.
I could see her eyes glisten, but then she took a deep breath and looked at me.
He's upset, but he says they'll call him back soon, she added, trying to sound hopeful.
How you know he got laid off? Maybe he got fired, I said bitterly.
Ben, I'm serious, Mom. Maybe he showed up drunk on the job. I see him drinking in the middle of the day sometimes, I told her.
My anger was coming out.
Maybe he came to work stinking like beer, or maybe he tried to boss someone around like he does here. Ben, she said, raising her sad voice at me.
It hurt me inside to hear it.
It's hard enough around here without you making it worse. Now, we've got to make the best of things until he gets back to work.
I was quiet then, holding back my own angry tears.
Things are going to get pretty tight, she added, rubbing her shoulder as if it was sore. I'm going to have to pay the rent and bills with my salary.
I got money.
No, Ben, your money's for you, she said quickly. But if you can just take care of yourself with what Mr. Graham is giving you, that would really help.
Four words caught me. Take care of yourself. It was like she was admitting I was on my own, that she couldn't care for me. I know it hurt her to say this to me. Her eyes were puffy and glassy with tears waiting to fall.
I can manage, Mom, I said.
She put her hand on my shoulder. It almost burned where she touched me.
You make me proud, you know that, she said.
I shrugged, grabbing the book Aunt Faye gave me, anything to avoid looking into Mom's defeated eyes.